Father, tonight we thank you so much for your goodness and grace. We thank you for your mighty power to save, yes. Your power here tonight to heal, your power to deliver and set free, and your power, Father God, to give peace in the midst of the storm. We thank you, Father God, for all of your blessings and benefits to us in Christ. And we thank you, Father God, that tonight those of us who are believers are found to be in Christ. And thank you that by the end of tonight, anybody who's not can get in on it, can be in Christ. And so we thank you for all that you've done for us in Christ. Thank you, Father, for our redemptive realities. Thank you for Pastor and Mrs. Hagen. Thank you for just blessing them, strengthening them, for renewing and refreshing them. Thank you for helping them. We thank you for our pastors. Father, you've set such wonderful shepherds over this place, and we love them, and we thank you for blessing them tonight. And as Brother Marvin mentioned, Father, we thank you for all those who are out on missions groups, and we pray for their safety, for their protection, for their unction and anointing tonight, for Tony and the group in Mexico. And Father, continue to watch over every one of them. Continue to use them mightily for your glory, Father God, and continue to cause the river and the flood of your deliverance, your salvation, your healings, and your wonderful baptisms in the mighty Holy Ghost to come forward while they're there in Mexico. And for Tad and the group in Thailand, continue to use them. Watch over them. Guard every single one of them, Father God. We thank you for using, giving them the unction, the utterance, Father God, and continuing to use them in a mighty way and all that your hand is doing through the group there in Thailand. With Denise and the group in Guatemala, continue to use them powerfully. And those young folks, Father God, and the adults who are with them, use them, flow through them, unction and anointing, and may your hand be present there also to save and deliver and to heal and set free and all that you're doing there. And then the groups that are going out here locally, continue to bless them and use them in a mighty way. And then give all of these groups traveling mercies. And those who are, some are in Beirut tonight, but wherever they're at, Father God, give them all traveling mercies. We just give you all of the glory now for your word. Now for tonight, Father, thank you for unction. Thank you for utterance. Thank you for always shepherding, leading, and feeding your people beside the still waters and the green pastures tonight. We'll give you the glory in advance for all that our eyes see, our ears hear, all that we experience. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Praise God. Well, don't you appreciate Anthony, all of our singers and band? Let's thank them. Praise God. Hallelujah. You can have your seat. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bible, go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Most of what we say tonight will be in New American Standard. Of course, you know, that's kind of my favorite version of Scripture. And so most of what we say will be in New American Standard. We do have one or two verses in NIV, I think one in Holman. But anyway, most of what we say will be New American Standard, okay? So in Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 3, is written something that should make you happy. There's something written about you in these verses of Scripture that should make you happy every day of your life. Paul writes, and I'll just pick up in verse 2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. It is interesting to me that so often when Paul sends his greetings through his letters, he prays for people to have grace, God's grace, his unmerited favor, his ability to put us over in any situation. But he also prays for peace. He also prays grace and peace, usually working together there. And tonight we're going to talk about peace. I want to talk about peace. As we waited on the Lord, asking him about tonight's service, the direction of tonight's service. How many know God has a direction? He has a flow for each service. Amen? Amen. And how many know it's not just up to the pulpit? The pulpit and the pew work together in harmony. Amen? Or should work together. Amen? And but in waiting on him, and waiting on him, and worshiping him, and singing to him, and waiting on him, somehow or another, this message was laid upon our heart. And so this is why we're speaking from this direction tonight. Okay? So, but after his greetings of grace and peace to the Ephesians, he reminds them that they have already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. And let me tell you, what God did for the Ephesians church, he's done for Rhema church. He's done for everybody watching through some other venue. If you're in the body of Christ tonight, you are blessed with that same blessing. I said, it's not a blessing we're waiting to get. It's a blessing we already have. Jesus seated in a position of authority at the right hand of the Father. The blessings that are on him are the blessings that are on his body. Amen. And so we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Well, I tell you, that's enough to praise him for. That's enough to shout about. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Amen. And so our job is to discern, to find out what are these spiritual blessings. And so tonight we're talking about just one of them. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. But one of those blessings we have in him is this blessing of his peace. And of course, Jesus paid the price for our spiritual needs to be met, and he paid the price for our physical needs to be met. Aren't you glad he paid the price for both of our needs to be met? Whether spiritual, whether physical, whether mental, emotional, it doesn't matter what your need may be tonight, Jesus already paid the price for it. Go with me to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Here I'm going to quote, I'll quote the New American Standard, but I really love this verse in the NIV, and I really love it in the Holman Christian Standard. Isaiah 53, talking about how we are in Christ. If you're in Christ, you've already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Say that, I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Amen. Praise God. Aren't you glad you're in Christ tonight? Some people look so sad, not here tonight, but I mean some Christians, they walk around so sad. They're so sad, and they must need to be reminded that they are in Christ. Because if we really realize who we are and what we have in Christ, it's impossible to be sad. I said, when you think about it, if you realize who you are, what you have, amen? Where did I tell you to go? Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5. First from the New American Standard, surely our griefs he himself bore and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Verse 5. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. I tell you, that's a powerful verse of scripture about you and I. Amen? About what Jesus has done. Part of our redemptive realities lie in what he did through the atonement. And of course, we know that he paid the price for our sins. Anybody glad about that? Anytime in our lives as a believer, when it gets too boring that Jesus paid the price for our sin, something wrong with us. we need to be dipped in some joy, because I tell you, that ought to make us happy every day. But not only did he pay the price for our sins, thank God he did that. He paid the price for our healing as well. Praise God. Amen. I said amen. Amen. And the scripture says, surely, verse 4, New American Standard, surely our griefs he himself bore. In my Bible, the word griefs has a footnote there, and it says it means sicknesses. And that's exactly what it means. So it'd be more accurate to say, surely our sicknesses he himself bore. I said amen. And so most of the time when we read these verses of scripture, we rejoice, as we should, that Jesus paid the price for our sins, that Jesus paid the price for our healing. Thank God. For that. But the scripture goes on here to say, verse 5, he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Here's this. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him. That verse in my New American Standard Bible, well-being, says peace. The footnote says peace. In other words, the chastening for our peace fell upon him. Sometimes that can be a little blind to us as we have this discussion about peace. Over in King James Version, it says that the chastisement of our peace was upon him. King James Version, 53, verse 5 of Isaiah. And then over in the NIV, I like this one. Listen to the verse 5, Isaiah 53, verse 5, NIV. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that bought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. The punishment that bought us peace, that punishment was on him. He was punished so that you and I who are in Christ could walk in peace. Listen to it in the Holman Christian Standard Bible, the Holman Christian Standard Bible, verse 5. But he was pierced because of our transgressions, crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for our peace was on him, and we are healed by his wounds. The Living Bible, today's Living Bible says, he was beaten that we might have peace, and he was lashed that we are healed. Any way you shuck down the corn, Jesus was punished, Jesus was beaten, Jesus suffered. Why? So that you and I, who are in Christ, could walk in peace. I said he paid an awesome price for you and I to walk in peace. But if we don't demand our peace by faith, then often we will forfeit it. If we don't demand it by faith, then oftentimes we forfeit our peace. And I'm convinced of this, that oftentimes in the body of Christ, we walk in the body of Christ sometimes way below the level of peace that God, that Jesus died for you and I to have. He died for you to be at peace tonight. I don't know what your day is like. I don't know what your week's like. I don't know what your month or your year is like. But I do know this. Jesus died so that you could walk in peace. And whatever may be troubling you, whatever may be ailing you, whatever may be coming against you, he paid the price so that you and I could have peace. And I remember when I first began to find out about the powerful peace of God, I'd just gotten born again, and I worried a lot because my family was going through turmoil, and my mom and dad, they had already been through a terrible divorce, and my mom was ill, and she was going through some things, and none of them were saved. Nobody in the family was saved. I got born again. They all thought I was an absolute nut. I was reading the Bible, and I was reading the Bible and came across Matthew chapter 6, and it blew my mind. My mind went tilt. And I thought to myself, I thought, man, if this is true, I said to myself, if this is true, if what I'm reading is true, my days of worrying are over. Now, if you knew me back then, 1979, look, I was happy-go-lucky on the outside, pretty happy-go-lucky, but at night, especially when I put my head on my pillow, I worried about the direction of my life. I worried about my mama, my sweet mama, and my sisters, and my dad, and my family, and what was going on in different parts of my family. And I worried about it. And when I read scriptures that dealt with peace, I thought, oh, if this is true, my whole world's going to change. My whole life is going to change. And I remember as I began to get a hold of these scriptures about peace, I remember my mama, she got up one day and she was crying, and I jumped out of bed and said, Mama, what's wrong? What's going on? And she said, oh, Billy, she said, I've lost my glasses. I cannot find my glasses. And she said, I've spent all my money. And she said, I've looked. I think she said she looked for a couple hours. She said, I've looked and I can't find them nowhere. And she said, I don't have any more money for glasses. And she was just crying. And I just held my mama and said, Mama, don't cry. Don't cry. And I said, Mama, look, you don't have to worry about it, because we can pray and we'll talk to the Lord about it, and he'll give us peace. And my mama got mad at me. She said, oh, boy, there you go again. She interrupted her tears. She said, boy, there you go again. The Bible, talking about the Bible, the Bible. She said, I open your door at night. You're reading the Bible. I'll pick in on you in the morning. You're reading the Bible. I said, Mama, I found out that you don't have to worry, that God has so ordained to give us peace. We can walk in peace and literally not have to worry about one single thing. I found out right here in the Word. And my mama said, oh, boy, you just read that Bible. You just gone too far. And I was holding my mama and she was telling me off, and I was holding her and she was crying and telling me off at the same time. And I said, Mama, come on now, give me a hand and let's pray. And she said, okay, all right, baby. And so we prayed. I said a simple prayer. I just said, Father, in Jesus' name, help us find my mama's glasses and show my mama she don't have to worry. And the only thing I can describe what happened next is that I just instantly in my spirit, just instantly, just like you snap your finger, just instantly, in here I knew, just reach down under the bed. It happened so fast and so powerful. When I reached down, I didn't even look under the bed. I just knelt down and put my hand down there. It happened so quick. And you know what I found down there? My mama's glasses. And I pulled her glasses up and she looked at me and her eyes got big as saucers. And my mama said, if you weren't my son, if I didn't see this with my own eyes, I would not believe what just happened. And my mama said, I don't care what you tell me, those glasses were not there. My mama said, I looked under the bed. She said, I was on my knees looking under the bed. She said, all you did was reach down and put your hand under there. I said, well, mama, all I know is that you don't have to worry about a thing. God wants you to know you don't have to worry about anything. She said, no, I know that. She said, I'm telling you, those glasses were not under there. I heard her on the phone later talking to her girlfriend. Girl, it's real. God's peace is real. And my mama found out that night his peace was real that morning. And I tell you, whatever's troubling you, Jesus has died. Jesus has borne the burden. Jesus has paid the price for you to be free. And it doesn't give him any glory that we would walk around burdened by something. In fact, because he suffered, because he paid the price, because he went through the torture and the pain and the punishment for you and I to have peace. What glorifies him is when we walk in our rights, when we walk in our covenant rights, and when we walk in our liberty, and when we walk in the blessing of his peace. And so let's go a little further tonight. Isaiah 26:3, you don't have to turn there. It says this, you will keep him in perfect peace. Who's what? Whose mind is stayed on you. Oh yeah. Over in John 14:27, Jesus said this, peace I give you. Then you know what he said after that? My peace. He said, the same peace that's on me, the same peace I'm the Lord of, the same peace that I'm walking in, the same peace that is upon me, the same peace that I have. He said, peace I give you. Then he said, my peace I give unto you. And not as the world gives do I give unto you. And he said this, let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. And tonight, his peace is available to you. So, I want to share with you, just in meditating on the Lord and just worshiping him, this just rose up in my spirit. Seven peace killers. Seven peace killers. Any one of these seven things will kill peace, will keep you from experience peace the way that Jesus paid the price, the way that he suffered for you and I to have peace tonight. People who know me today, people who really know me today, and lest they hear my testimony, they're always amazed when I share my testimony about worry, because they always say, man, you're such a peaceful person. And but really, it's not Bill, it's the Lord, because he gets glory from taking something that we are weak at. And if we'll yield ourselves, listen to me now, he'll turn a weakness into strength. Can't get no amen teaching like that. I said, God gets the glory from taking something that may be weakness into you tonight, but if you'll yield it to him, when he gets done, it'll be a strength. So seven peace killers. Number one is worry. You could have guessed that. Matthew 6:25-33. Go with me to Matthew 6. Worry. Everybody say worry. Yeah, God don't want you doing that. Worry will kill your peace. We're talking about seven peace killers. Peace killer means that peace is available, but if you participate in this activity, it will kill the peace that Jesus paid the price for you and I to have. He wants us to be overflowing with peace. Yeah. Matthew 6:25-33. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. And yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? 31. Do not worry then, saying, What will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That's the verse I read right after I got born again. This is scripture I read. I said, if I read that right, if that's true, my life's going to change. My life will change. My days of worrying are over. And you know, I found out it was true. Literally true. Jesus paid the price for you and I to walk in peace. You notice verse 27 said, and who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life? Worry is not going to accomplish one thing for you. Worry is not going to change one thing. It might make you sick. It'll clog the pipeline of blessings that God's trying to get to you. Worry will hinder you in a number of ways. But do you notice also the scripture said, why do you worry, saying? Look at verse 31. Do not worry then, saying. And so often what we're worried about spills up from our heart over into our lips. And got to be careful about what you let come out of your mouth. Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so we got to be careful here about, when you see something or you're going through something, you're experiencing something, it's making you worry. And if you just keep looking at the problem, after a while, it'll start coming out of your mouth. Your problem will just be found on your tongue. You'll just keep saying what your problem is. But Jesus said here, do not worry saying, do not worry saying. In other words, he's saying, watch what you say, watch your mouth. And if we have to watch our mouth, it means we have to watch our heart. And he said, look, God clothed. I was out with a friend on a golf course, and I told him there was a bird that was, I don't know, eating something down there. And I said, look, God's feeding that bird. He looked at me like, come on, man. But if God takes care of a sparrow, if God feeds a sparrow, the scripture says you are worth more than any sparrow. I said, he'll feed you. Worry is a peace killer. And if you give in to worry, it'll kill your peace. You'll have peace that was paid for, and you will forfeit it. Don't let worry kill your peace. Secondly, fear. Fear is a peace killer. Go to Isaiah 41 verse 10. Isaiah 41 verse 10. Fear is a peace killer. Worry will rob us of peace. Oh, and I learned in my own life, when I learned how to stop giving way to worry, when I learned how to say no to worry, oh, glory be to God. Oh, his peace has flooded me and flooded my life in situation after situation after situation ever since. I found that you can be in a storm, but God can give you such peace that you can feel like you're in the eye of the storm. You can be going through a tough time, but God can give you such peace that you can just take the wings of an eagle and soar above the storm. I said, God knows how to keep you in the midnight hour. He can keep you when things are troubling you at noontime. God's peace can keep you when you can't see your way out of a situation. God's peace can keep you when you biting your fingernails to the bone. God's peace can keep you when you go scratching your head, you don't know what to do. I said, his peace will rock you. His peace will comfort you. His peace will hold you. Oh, I'm a living witness. Yes, it will. Isaiah 41 verse 10. Do not fear. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Woo, somebody ought to say amen to that. What is God saying to you and I? Do not give in to fear. Fear will rob you of the powerful peace that God has for you. Over in Isaiah 43, just turn the page. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. But now, thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. You may be in a hot furnace type situation tonight, But I came here to tell you that the God of heaven is on your side. The God of heaven is standing by you. Hey, the God of heaven is backing you up, is holding you up, is propping you up. And he will lead you through the storm, lead you through the fire, bring you through the water. He said the flood's not going to overflow you and the fire's not going to burn you. And when God brings you out, you won't even smell like smoke. I wish I had an amen in here. I said worry is a peace killer. Fear is a peace killer. Thirdly, weariness. Weariness will rob you of peace. You're in Isaiah. Go to 40, chapter 40. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Isaiah 40, verse 28 through 31. Weariness, letting your body drain down too low. And you know, we are busy folk in the city and in the country and the state and in the world. We are busy people. We are chasing ourselves sometimes, places to go and people to see and stuff to do. Life just seems to get busier. But we have to balance that busyness in our lives. And Isaiah 40, verse 28 through 31, 28. Do you not know? God is speaking now. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary. Everybody say that. He gives strength to the weary. Oh, yes, he does. And to him who lacks might, he increases power. And though youths grow weary and tired, vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. And they will walk and not become weary. You get too weary. And if you let your body get too weary, you've got to bring yourself into balance. And sometimes we have to learn how to rest our body. You can't get no amen teaching like this. But sometimes we get too body. When you get weary, you get more body conscious. You understand what I'm saying? And so the more tired we get, the more conscious of our bodies we are. And the more body conscious we are, the less spirit conscious we are. And because we are a spirit, then that's where we want to be sensitive. We want to be sensitive that over on the inside. We want to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. Because see, he's the answer to every situation. He's the answer. He's got the answer to every trouble, every situation. And so, but if we get weary, then we'll get body conscious. If we get body conscious, then we're less spirit conscious. And we want our spirit to dominate our body. Can I get amen there? Amen. Let me keep running. Bad decisions. Bad decisions is a peace killer. Over in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Go with me there. Philippians 4, verse 6. Bad decisions will rob you of peace. You make decisions, but you don't wait on God, or you don't ask God, or you don't wait till you know that you know that's what God wanted you to do. That was the direction. That was the decision. Bad decisions will rob you of peace. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. Everybody say, be anxious for nothing. Yeah. What does the word nothing mean? Amen. No thing means anything you can think of, means any situation, right? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Now, I like that. Prayer, supplication, earnest, heartfelt prayer. Prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. Sometimes people are making decisions, they're not even letting their request be made known unto God. Others are making decisions and they prayed a quick prayer but didn't wait for his leading. Didn't wait for him to guide you. Let your request be known unto God. Verse 7. And see, after all of that, then it says, then the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and, thank God, our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Can you see that there? Bad decisions. Bad decisions will rob us of peace. Number five. You say, what was number three? You ain't listening right. Let me see here. Let me help you out. No, I'm messing with you. Number one was worry. Number two was fear. Number three was weariness. Number four was bad decisions. All right. Number five, unforgiveness. Unforgiveness will rob you of God's peace. Go to with me, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We're talking about the peace of God tonight. God, he wants us to experience his peace in full measure. After all, Jesus paid for it. I said, after all, Jesus paid for you to have peace. It don't make no good sense for you to be up at night, can't sleep. And Jesus already paid for you to have peace. He paid for you to be sleeping like a baby. Acts chapter 12, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers the night before they were going to chop his head off. Chained between two soldiers. When the angel got to him, the angel had to hit him in the side. That brother knew something about peace. A lot of people would have been, oh, Lord, they're going to cut my head off tomorrow. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. Peter knocked out sleep. Unforgiveness will rob you of peace. Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 12. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Now look, verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Unforgiveness will keep you from experiencing the wonderful peace that Jesus died for you to have. He paid for you to have peace, abundant peace. He was punished. He was brutalized for you and I to walk in overflowing, abundant peace. Unforgiveness will keep you from it. Number six, being feeling-oriented. Feeling-oriented will keep you from having peace. Second Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. Being feelings-oriented. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. It says this, now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all. Isn't that powerful? Now may the Lord of peace. He's the Lord of everything, but he's also the Lord of peace. Glory be to God. Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. Waiting on feelings will rob you of peace. Wait until you feel like it will rob you of peace. Wait until you feel like praising him will rob you of peace. Wait until you feel like thanking him will rob you of peace. You see, you might as well just, you know, when you want to experience the peace of God, just enter in by faith. Sometimes you just have to say, ha, ha, ha. Devil, ha, ha, ha. I'm going to have joy anyway. Sometimes you just have to say, I'm going to worship you, Lord. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care. I may not feel. I'm going to drag myself to the place of prayer. I'm going to make myself bless him. I'm going to make myself thank him. I'm going to make myself say God is good. I wish I had an amen in here. Being feelings oriented will rob you of peace. And number seven, partial saturation. This is our last point. Partial saturation. He said, brother, what are you talking about now? Back in Philippians 4, starting at verse 4, the word says this, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men, the Lord is near. And then it says, be anxious for nothing. And then down at verse 8, it says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there be any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell. Literally means meditate on these things. Partial saturation. Keep us from experiencing the peace of God. Over in Joshua 1:8, I'll just read it to you. You don't have to go there. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do all that is written in it. He said day and night. Full saturation. I said full saturation with the word, full saturation with worship will bring the peace of God on you. One more, Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be ye thankful. I like that. Now look, let the word of Christ richly dwell in you with all, listen, all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to the Lord. Can you see it there? Talking about full saturation. Talking about time in the presence of God. One of the things that keeps us from experiencing peace, you may say, well, I'm spending time with God. I ain't got no peace. You ain't spending enough time. Turn off gun smoke. Turn gun smoke off and listen and meditate like said there in Philippians 4:8, meditate in his word. Why? Your spirit will receive full saturation. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. If you'll worship the Lord, enter into worship, your spirit will get saturated. I said, when you get yourself saturated with the word, saturated with the spirit, speaking to yourself. You say, well, listen, speaking to yourself, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, do that at home. And you'll get saturated with his presence. You'll get saturated with the word. And when you get saturated with him, oh, his peace will come on you. like somebody threw a blanket around you. You'll be able to sleep at night. The psalmist said in chapter 4, verse 8, I will both lay me down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness tonight. Thank you for the reality of your presence and the power of your peace. And thank you that the Lord Jesus died to ensure that we would walk in his peace. And he gave us his exact peace. And so tonight, we trust you and look to you and have shared along the word, along the line of the word that we feel like you gave us tonight. And so help your people, strengthen them tonight. And may your peace flow like a mighty stream from heart to heart, life to life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, our prayer room workers are coming now, and you want somebody to agree with you. That's what these anointed people are down here for. You know how we do by now. So come on down and pray. And if you need prayer, they'll agree with you. And if you were a first-time guest tonight, as Pastor Marvin was saying earlier, listen, we're so glad you came. You come back next Wednesday. Pastor Hagin will be bringing a mighty word. Come back Sunday morning. He'll be bringing a mighty word, and you'll be blessed. So don't forget to pray for our missions group. But if you were a first-time guest, we want you to go to that place of just to give you a gift. We want you to go with our connection team member right now. They're not going to hold you long. They're just going to keep you briefly, and we're going to bless you real big for coming tonight. Let's give them all a big hand. We want to bless you tonight. We're so glad you came. We're so glad you took the time. We're so glad you could have been home watching Gunsmoke. You came out to hear the word of the Lord, and we're so glad. We're just going to bless you with a great gift on behalf of the church, just to let you know that we appreciate you. Don't we appreciate it? Give them one more big hand. We're just glad you came. Praise God. Glory to God. All right, and then for the rest of you, let's remember to pray for all of our groups that are out there who also still have to come back home, and let's keep Pastor and Mrs. Hagin lifted up, and then you be here Sunday and be a mighty word from heaven, and you won't leave here now or then like you came. Brother Marvin, anything else? Brother Roger, Brother Marvin, anything? Brother Greg? Okay, well, we love you, and we will see you right here Sunday morning. God bless you. You're dismissed.